Do you want this light off or any lights off?
It's fine. Thank you, Adam. Good morning to you all. Good morning to all those on live stream. Merry Christmas to you all. It is on the thoughts of Christmas that I feel that I was given some things to give to you today. So, and the title of my sermon, as you can see, is that gifts are for giving. You know, it comes that season where I'm sure most of you all have some kind of Christmas tree or something in your house, and many of you have gifts underneath them. I know a lot of children look forward to this time of year, looking in hope and wonder as to, you know, what Wednesday might bring them. You know, a time of anticipation, a time that we look forward to. You know, and that's what brought us here, what brought us to this tradition that we have. You know, happened many, many years ago. And in Luke, in the second chapter, verses 8 to 14, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. You know, this night that we've been given this great and wonderful gift, the gift of hope, gift of salvation and redemption, which came into the world. You know, and the angels came and they spoke to those poor shepherds. You know, they were probably very uneducated men. Didn't have a knowledge of the gospel and of the prophecies, and yet it was worthy of them to tell them who had come. You know, they were worthy to receive the gift, to be told, to be witness that night what the great gift that had been given to all mankind. All were worthy of this gift. You know, those three wise men which came, they knew because they had been studied. They did have access, apparently, to records. We don't know which ones, but we know that they were wise and they were studied, and that the prophets had foretold of this event. And the prophets told in Nephi, 1 Nephi 3, 61 to 62, And I looked and beheld the virgin bearing a child in her arms. And the angel said unto me, Behold, the Lamb of God, yea, even the Son of the Eternal Father. And Nephi was told in his dream what was to come. And Isaiah also was told, you know, what it was his purpose would be, what he would do for us, this gift, what it would mean. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. You know, they were told. And so these wise men, they'd searched these scriptures, they'd searched these prophecies, and they knew of his coming. And they prepared themselves. You know, they journeyed from a far land. Doesn't say exactly where they are. There's many that guesses, but you know, it took a lot of effort on their part. And they wanted to see this great gift. They wanted to partake in the wonderful chance at redemption we had been given. Salvation had come. This wonderful gift which had been given. So they went, journeyed from a distant land far from Israel, guided by a star. And what did they bring? They brought gifts. Matthew, in the second chapter, in the 11th verse, And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. You know, these kings, they knew what was happening, and they prepared themselves, just like we do today. You know, what is it that my wife wants for Christmas? I got to figure it out. I got to ask her. Coincidentally, it's a new coat of paint in front of the house. Because I know she wanted that. And so we go out, we research. What is it our loved ones want? We think about them. We have to go. We have to go to the store. We have to spend of our own money, our own time. You know, it takes planning. It takes preparation, just like these wise men came. And they brought their gifts. You know, as I read, these were very, very expensive gifts. These were not things that could come easy. They were precious. Pales in comparison to the gift we received. But I think this is the best they could do. The best they had to offer. And no doubt, when Joseph was told to flee, go into Egypt, I'm sure he used these gifts to that end. To protect his child, what would be known as his child, to protect his wife. You know, these gifts were given. And these gifts served a purpose. The best that the wise men had to offer. It helped protecting our Savior and his mother and Joseph. There were many others that suffered because they couldn't flee. They didn't have the means, they didn't have the ability to escape the king. And yet, they were given a gift. They were used that gift. And so, we have this long tradition of giving gifts. In honor of the gifts that were given to our Savior, in honor of the gift that was given to us. We do this to this day. Many, many places still do this. And I hope to bring in today that, you know, the reason why we do this is not about the receiving, but it is about the giving. Gifts are for giving. You know, we've been given many different gifts, you know, outside of, you know, presents and things that we expect on Christmas Day. We've been given a lot of gifts. And God does not limit his gifts to the carnal or the temporal. You know, he gives many spiritual gifts. He gives many talents. He gives many things unto us. You know, the body of Christ is many different parts, many different gifts which have been given. And we're told to covet gifts, the best gifts. If you read in 1 Corinthians in the 12th chapter, in the first verse, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." He doesn't want us to be fooled by what these things are for. You know, their purpose. God gives gifts, and many men have gifts. You can see talents all over, all around. But these spiritual gifts, they are for a purpose. Continue on in the fourth verse. "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues." These are wonderful gifts which we have been given. Then I can look out in this crowd today and I can look at this verse of Scripture and I can see those that have prophesied, those that have healed, those that have wisdom, those that have great faith, those who can speak different languages. These gifts are here among us today. We've been given these things. And it's for a purpose. And now you're the body of Christ. And members in particular. "And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, and gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, having all the gifts, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet I show unto you a more excellent way. You know, there is a purpose of all these things. We don't all have these same gifts. We don't all have the ability to prophesy. We don't all have the ability to heal. You know, there are different ways in which we can help, different things which we can do. We've all been given these wonderful diversities of gifts. It makes a collage of, you know, beautiful art. So it's important that we understand that. It's important that these gifts, we can covet gifts, covet the best gifts. We can pray for gifts. We can ask for these things. But there's a more excellent way, a purpose to all these gifts that we have been given. Again, I look out in this crowd. I can see people out here that are good at speaking. I can talk in front of a crowd. I'm not afraid to do it. Talk, teach in Sunday school. There are people that can write. They have the gift of writing. There are people that are good at business. You know, having understanding of how business works and able to make a living at it. There are people that have physical strength. Those that are strong. You know, strength of mind, strength of character, strength of body. There are those that have knowledge. There are those that have wisdom. There are those that can teach. There are those that can give. Some of us can learn. We have a gift of learning. Some of us are musical. We can sing. Some of us have charisma, great personality. Now, there are many that have aptitude toward all these things. These are all gifts and abilities and skills that you have been given. Make you unique. Make you who you are. God has endowed upon you. And these things are what make up the body of Christ. You know, even if you don't have anything on that list, you have been given all of these through your Savior. Grace, redemption, mercy, love, forgiveness, charity. We have been given all of these things. We've been given these from our Savior because He came many nights, many, many, many years ago. And with Him, hope. We have these wonderful gifts that we have been given. So, what do we do with these gifts? What is it? We are commanded, I feel, to give these gifts. We have a commandment to love one another just as Christ loved us. In John, in the 15th chapter, verses 9 through 12. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. We are commanded to love. We are commanded to give this gift which we have been given. You know, Christ came. He was born, lived as in a fleshly body, suffering all the things that we suffer, getting sick, being rejected, having all the emotions that we have. And this is what He tells us. As I have loved you, you must love one another. He gave us this gift, and it is our duty to give it to everyone else. It's a commandment that we love one another. The gift we have been given, we must give. We have a commandment to forgive. In Mark, in the 11th chapter, in the 25th verse, And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. No. We are commanded to forgive. We have been given forgiveness. Forgiveness of all of our sins when we ask. And He freely gives. So must we also freely give forgiveness. When Christ was on the cross, some of His final words, forgive them. They'd whipped Him, and He asked for forgiveness for them. They scourged Him. They asked forgiveness for them. They gave Him vinegar to drink, and He begged God to forgive them. They nailed nails into His hands and His feet. And He asked that they be forgiven. I dare say none of us have gone through anything close to that. And if our example is to be as Christ, then we also must forgive those who trespass against us. And if we don't, we're not a part of this forgiveness. It says right there, in the words of Christ, if we do not forgive, we are not forgiven. So we must give this gift of forgiveness. And a few verses earlier is the Lord's Prayer. And a part of that prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. It's a one for one. If we don't forgive, we're not forgiven. There is nothing done to us that can't be forgiven. As I mentioned before, Christ was on the cross, suffered horribly, and He was innocent. And yet He forgave. He took upon Him all the sin and asked for forgiveness for those who were harming Him. So we too, we must forgive. We have no leeway. There's no way around it. We are required to give the gift of forgiveness. Because it surely isn't deserved. We did nothing to deserve Christ. We did nothing to earn it. There's nothing we could have done. And yet He gave. Undeserving as we were, He gave forgiveness. And He commands us to do the same. So we must give that gift. We have commandments to give. Mosiah in the second chapter, 28 to 31. And also, ye yourselves will succor those that stand in need of your succor. You will administer of your substance unto him that standeth in need. And you will not suffer that the beggar putteth up his petition to you in vain and turn him out to perish. Perhaps thou shalt say, the man hath brought upon himself this misery. Therefore will I say, stay my hand, and will not give him of my food, nor impart unto him of my substance, that he may not suffer. For his punishments are just. But I say unto you, O man, whosoever doeth this, the same hath great cause to repent. And except he repenteth of that which he hath done, he perisheth forever, and hath no interest in the kingdom of God. That last little phrase there. I have an interest in the kingdom of God. I want to go there someday. But in order to get there, I have to give gifts. It's a very damning statement. If you withhold what you've been given, God doesn't want you in the kingdoms of heaven. He has no desire for you to be there if you are not giving the gifts which you have been given. Several years ago, I was very convicted of this scripture. I'd purchased myself a gift. And And I had to go down to Tucson to get it because I was cheap. I didn't want to pay for shipping, so it was actually cheaper for me to drive down there. So I was, all right, well, I'll go drive down to Tucson and go get this thing. I drove all the way down to Tucson, and I picked it up. I paid the, it was kind of an expensive gift. And I paid the man who constructed it for me. And as I was leaving, there was a little restaurant there, a fast food restaurant. I went through the drive-thru because I wanted to get back up home. And I was pulling out of the drive-thru and I saw this man sitting there holding a sign on the sidewalk, you know, asking for help. And I drove past him and I went on my way. And then it hit me. This right here, it hit me. Now, if I don't give the gifts that I have been given, I can't go to heaven. So with this on my mind, I turned around, drove back a few miles, and he was still there. I asked him if he wanted something to eat. He said, yeah, I do. So I went back to the drive-thru again, gave him, got the food for him. And I don't say that to vaunt myself, but it was seared in my mind as I was driving away. And the further I got, the worse it got. We've got to give our gifts. We've been blessed so greatly. And if I don't recognize that, and if I don't share in that, heaven doesn't want me. So we must give gifts. We must give in order to go to heaven. We have guidance given to us. Now, if you are in this room, living in the United States, by the world's standards, you are rich. Every single one of us in here, the poorest among us, lives like kings compared to most of the rest of the world. And so we have this guidance given to us in Jacob, in the second chapter, in the 24th verse. And after you have attained a hope in Christ, ye shall obtain riches if ye seek them. And ye will seek them for the intent to do good, to clothe the naked, to feed the hungry, liberate the captive, and administer relief to the sick and the afflicted. Now, this is why this country has been so greatly blessed. So that we seek riches for a purpose. God's bounty is all around us. We partake in it daily. What are we doing with it? Are we giving those gifts we've been given? Are we giving of the substance we have? Because this is what we should be doing. It's a better way. He showed us a better way. He gave us guidance. He gave us our scriptures. He gave us this great bounty which we have, which we partake in every day. I'm not hungry. I'm not cold. I've been blessed. And I have a duty to give these gifts which I have been given. It's a better way. You know, it can be hard to give when we're not humble. And so we have to have absolute humility. And Christ showed us this. He showed us. If you look in John, in the 13th chapter, verses 3 to 5. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. Just think about that for a second. He resided in heaven. God gave him all things. He had everything. He came from God and he was going back to God. everything. And what did he do with everything? He riseth from supper and lay aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. And after he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Everything, the Lord and Master, the Savior who gave us all, King of Kings. And what did he do with it all? He gave it back. And he washed their feet. You know, he had nothing in this life, possession-wise. What did he do? He did what he could. There was a need that needed to be taken care of. And he became a servant. Absolute humility. That's what's required of us. If you have trouble giving, it might be because we're not humble. He could see that they were dirty, and he washed them. He didn't have to. Maker of the universe gave himself everything. He knew what was coming. And yet his thoughts were to be an example. He knew he was going to suffer greatly. He could have wallowed in misery. He chose not to. He chose to take care of a need. So no matter what's ahead of us, no matter what's looming out there in front of us, we have a duty to give. Give the gifts which we have been given. Can we serve our neighbor? Can we serve those that need our help? And not wallow in our own, you know, our own sorrow and woe is me. There's a better way. No matter what faces us, none of us have faced anything like this. None of us have faced the cross and the taking on us the sins of the world. We can't. It's not our place. But we haven't faced anything like that. And yet, he thought of others. And so it was our job, is to think of others, to be a servant unto others. And if we do this, there is no shame. There's no shame in Christ. Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Considered that statement? You know, the gospel of Christ, it is the cure. And you have it. You have been given a great gift. And you have a duty to share. Who here would see their child sick and not give them the medicine they needed? Who here, they had found the cure to cancer, would keep it to themselves? There's no shame in Christ. There's no shame in having the answer. There's no shame in his gospel. It is what this world needs. It is what sinners need. They need this gift. It's up to them whether they accept it, but it is up to you to give it. It is up to you to show this gift that we have been given. We have salvation, the chance of salvation. We have grace. Are you giving grace to those around you? Are we ashamed? So if we are ashamed of him now, will he be ashamed of us on the day of judgment? It's Christ who goes before us. He bought us with a price so that he could be the one to go before God and say, "This is my servant." And he was not ashamed of me. She was not ashamed of me. because they were not ashamed, I will take their stripes. Take their sin. And I will wear it for them. So be not ashamed of this gospel. So that one day we can all walk together. We have a gift. And it wasn't convenient for Christ to do so. You know, it's not easy. It's not convenient for us to give our gifts. We lose time. We lose money. We lose energy. Christ lost his time and his energy carrying that cross. It wasn't convenient. He begged God if there was another way to let it happen. So this is not for our convenience. It's for our giving. We must give these gifts. It is our duty. If we don't give the gifts we have received, he wants no part of us. We don't get to partake in eternity with him. So we must give the gifts of this gospel. We must give the gifts of our substance. We must give gifts of our service. These are all things that are required. Gifts are for giving. We must give these gifts because that's what was done for us. We were given all. We were given everything. Life and breath. And he expects us to do the same. I'm going to give you the gift of a short sermon. This day. And that's all I have. I hope that you take your gifts and your blessings and that you provide them to those who stand in need. And I hope to see you one day in heaven, rejoicing with our Savior forever. Thank you.